Hi, I'm Nina Atwood, the Singles Coach. Join our learning community at www.singlescoach.com if you want to date smart and find the love of your life. Single and searching is the stage of single life that should come right after post-relationship. If you did your homework, you've moved through the grief and loss, dealt with it appropriately, and refrained from serious dating until you got through it. Congratulations! That's a huge first step. Every stage of single life has certain life tasks that go with it. In Single and Searching, we have two basic things to accomplish. First, attitude adjustment. And second, expanding your social circle. Think about this statement and pay attention to your internal response. Being single is a wonderful time of life, full of positive opportunities. Now, what did you feel when you heard those words? For you, was the statement true or false? If you're like me at certain times of single life, the answer is false. Why? Because there were times for me when searching for the right guy felt like an insurmountable problem. I didn't see the opportunity. All I saw was the difficulty. At those times, being single was not a wonderful time of life. Far from it. Single and searching is both a challenge and an opportunity, but it's not supposed to be that difficult. We make it difficult for ourselves when we set up our own internal roadblocks to the search. One of the roadblocks that gets in the way is negative self-talk. Yes, I know very well what it feels like to go home after a bad or a dull date, or to sit home alone one too many Saturday nights. It's tempting to start believing that that's the way it will always be. Once that belief takes hold, however, the negative self-talk runs the show. Maybe you'll recognize yourself in these thoughts. There aren't any really great people to date out there. There's something wrong with me. I can't seem to attract a quality person. It's hopeless. I can't even seem to get a date. I guess I'm just destined to grow old and always be alone. The list goes on and on. Now, when you heard me say those things, what kinds of feelings did you notice? If you were saying them with me in your head, you probably noticed a downturn in your emotional state. That's how the brain works. When we feed it something negative, it automatically goes down the pathways of our negative experiences, recalling all the bad dates, the relationships gone wrong, the lonely nights. Thoughts of the future, hope for good love, visions of happiness, they just don't live in that part of the brain, so we lose touch with them. The truth is that we have to constantly feed our brains the right kind of food, visions of a bright future, hopeful thoughts, and positive intentions. Even though you have never experienced a great relationship in the past, you can actually envision one now, focus on that vision, and begin to create a pathway in your brain for that relationship to live. That's right, you create your future relationship now by programming your brain for it. The first step of that process is to believe that it's possible, even though you have no evidence that it is. It's called faith, choosing to believe what hasn't happened yet. By having faith and belief in the power of love, in your power to attract love, you can actually alter your brain chemistry so that you are much more open to love. As you become more open to love, you send out signals to the people you meet, signals that their brains pick up on and respond to. In relationships, like attracts like. Belief in love, open-heartedness, faith, and positive intentions attract those same qualities in another person. Now, one way to program your brain for love is to create a vision statement specifically describing what you want in a mate and a relationship. For a powerful vision statement exercise, read Chapter 4 in Be Your Own Dating Service and follow the instructions. Once you've begun reprogramming your brain to maximize a positive attitude about life, love, and dating, you're ready for the next step, expanding your social circles. How? Well, first, do an inventory of your current social circles. Think of it in terms of different social contexts that you participate in, such as school or work, church or synagogue, a book club, a singles group, so on, whatever it is. For each social context, make a circle and put the name of it inside the circle. Then, put little X's outside each circle to represent the approximate number of people you are acquainted with, not just close friends, but acquaintances. Right now, we're not concerned with single and dateable on this list, just people that you know. The first time I did this exercise, I had two circles and a total of about 15 X's. I quickly saw that it wasn't nearly enough social exposure for someone looking for the love of her life. I knew I had to have more opportunities to meet someone new, and I made up my mind to do it. A year later, I had 5 circles and more than 200 exes around them. I had built a sizable social network, and with that, my attitude had changed. I no longer saw single life as one of scarcity, but instead saw it as one of abundance. This is the second piece of reprogramming your brain. You must build real-world experiences that counteract the old negative thought patterns. To be successful at something, we must have a combination of two powerful things, the right thoughts about it and the right behavior around it. One without the other is weak. I can sit alone in my house and envision a great relationship all day, but if I never get out and interact, nothing will happen. Likewise, I can get out and interact all day long, but if my thoughts are negative and depressive, I will push people away and go home, reinforcing my loneliness. To get lots of advice on how to build your social networks, read Chapter 6 of Be Your Own Dating Service. But don't just read it. Read it, follow it, and do it. Get up, get out, get going. When you do with a positive attitude, you, like me, will see the wonderful opportunity for fun and growth that's available in single and searching. One last note. Because of the ease and convenience of online dating, you may be tempted to rely totally on that as a way of expanding your social life. Wrong! Let me tell you why. Online dating is a way to meet someone for the possibility of dating. That means that when you connect with someone and you arrange a time to meet, it's one-to-one stranger dating. Not a bad thing, but it's a long way from the energy of meeting people in other contexts without the pressure of wondering if you're going to fall in love. We need those other places to expand our social worlds. We need to meet people for the sole purpose of friendship first, and we need to have a support system to help us through the ups and downs of real life. You can't get that by going online. No way. You have to create that in the real, not the virtual world, right there in your own hometown. Now, go and download the third podcast in the series, Stages of Dating, Dating Around, and go to our website, www.singlescoach.com, for all the resources you need to date smart and find the love of your life.